At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Texas Land Commissioner George P. Bush could get a Democratic challenger today. Miguel Suazo is expected to make his announcement this morning at the Texas Democratic Party headquarters in Austin. Suazo is an Austin-based oil and gas attorney who's also managing partner of Suazo Legal Group. He formerly worked as an aide to former U.S. Senator Jeff Bingaman of New Mexico. Suazo is the first Democratic challenger for Bush so far. Two people are challenging Bush in the Republican primary. A group that works to elect Democratic women in Texas has called on two state senators to resign. Yesterday's statement from Annie's List followed reports Wednesday on the Daily Beast website in which unnamed women working at the Capitol said they were forcibly kissed and harassed by Boris Miles of Houston and Carlos Uresti of San Antonio. Both are Democrats. Uresti called Wednesday's allegations unfounded and erroneous. Miles did not respond to those stories, but his spokeswoman said in a previous Daily Beast article that a published account of assault did not happen. Both lawmakers said in their statements that they plan to join efforts in the Senate to develop policies and practices to prevent sexual misconduct. The Texas House approved changes to its policy last week. Take a look at the list of celebrities and media figures involved, and sexual harassment and misconduct seem like an epidemic. In our Friday conversation, we'll look at whether these headlines are producing fundamental change. KERA's Rick Holter talked to Joanna Grossman. She's a law professor at SMU, and she specializes in sex discrimination and workplace equality.
There have been so many high-profile men involved. Garrison Keillor and John Hockenberry were allowed to retire from their public radio shows. The Dallas Theater Center initially announced that Lee Troll was leaving at the end of the season and then subsequently fired him. Why do so many companies allow harassers to leave on their own terms?
Well, it depends a little bit on what they're trying to accomplish. So these very high-profile cases, what those employers are responding to is a little bit public opinion, public response, maybe advertisers, stockholders. So it depends on who your constituency and who you're trying to please with the action that you take. Matt Lauer, he's not really at retirement age, and the allegations against him, if true, and NBC thought they were credible, are so severe that I don't think people would have been happy if they had just said, well, Matt's going to retire and he's going to have a nice severance package that keeps him rich for a long time. So right. I think it's a tough calculus based on your particular marketplace and the nature of the harassment.
I'm also wondering about the language used. There's a pretty significant difference between inappropriate behavior and, you know, sexual harassment or sexual misconduct.
I think the risk of the language is that we're sort of losing sight of the spectrum. One of my real beefs with the way these scandals are playing out is the standard apology. If I knew then what I know now, I never would have done this.
Right.
What, in fact, they're referring to accusations of rape, real sexual imposition, physical sexual imposition. And it's completely untenable to suggest that 10 years ago, he didn't know that was wrong, but now he understands it is. And in fact, when we study people and how they perceive different kinds of inappropriate sexual conduct, everyone is very good at identifying things on the severe end of the spectrum, men, women, people in all kinds of workplaces. And so a lot of the allegations fit in that category. And the blurring then is that we think, oh, well, now, you know, you can't do anything at work.
Right.
And in fact, really what we're talking about is pretty severe conduct.
How does the law sync up with reality on this? A lot of men have been fired or forced out before any legal action was taken.
The problem with sexual harassment law is the fight is all about employer liability, right? It's not about who did what.
Right.
At some point, it's about whether the employer is at fault or responsible for harassment that did occur. Although the legal standards are pretty robust, the law does not require you to be good at fixing harassment. What the law ends up requiring is that you take some cosmetic measures to prevent or respond to harassment. So if you don't have a policy at all, you might not be in a position to minimize or avoid liability. However, if you have a policy and you have a grievance procedure and you do really bad investigations that almost never get at the truth and don't punish harassers, you're not going to pay for that in court.
There is this thread that runs through all these ousters. One, they're men. Two, they have power, and in a lot of cases, a sense of impunity, a sense that they can't be touched. Can that change?
All you can do is change what you do about it. Institutions set culture, and we do know from research on harassment that different employers, different institutions do have different levels of harassment, and a lot of it comes from messaging at the top. What ties these scandals together is that often the person doing the harassing was the single most important person in the place. So in those cultures, of course, harassment's going to proliferate if the person who's doing it is the person who has all of the power. But even where that's not the case, the people at the top set the tone, and tones get set in a lot of different ways. It's not just having a policy. It's not just offering mandatory training. It's about a constant cultural message that says, you know, we don't tolerate this. We actually want to promote talent. We want egalitarian practices. So I don't think you're going to change who's doing the harassing and who's being victimized. You might be able to change what gets done about it if the institutions are really committed to change.
Do you see signs that there's any kind of fundamental change going on here? I mean, is this just a Me Too moment, or are we at an inflection point?
The burden is going to be on the institutions. And by the institutions, I mean both individual employers and sectors, right? Hollywood, state houses, Congress. People have to feel the pressure to change the way we have always done business. The only thing that's new that's happening right now is that people are getting fired for being harassers. The harassment's not new.
Joanna Grossman, SMU law professor, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
There'll be a number of road closures this weekend in downtown Dallas and Deep Ellum for the BMW Dallas Marathon and other races. Today, all lanes of Young Street will be closed from Field to Irvay. There'll be lanes provided for through traffic during peak rush hour. Ackard Street will be closed from Wood to Marilla, and Marilla Street will be closed between Young and Ackard. Now, for a full list of closures this weekend, visit dallascitynews.net. Sunny skies, high near 48 expected today.